I'm just going to share a few words now in the lead up to communion. So we're going to take communion together. Communion, if you don't know, it's a time when we remember that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed for us on the cross so we can have forgiveness and relationship with God. And we remember Jesus by eating the bread, or in this case, a wafer, which symbolises his body, and we drink the cup that symbolises his blood. And I don't know if you've been following Advent, but today is the third Sunday in Advent. It's a Christian tradition where we remember and lead up to Christmas. And this year we've looked at some ways in which God advances his kingdom. And his kingdom is his loving rulership. And when Jesus was born, it was an advance of God's kingdom. And today, we're looking at how God advances his kingdom through the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So in the Old Testament, we read of many times when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon people for a job to do. God wants them to do something, so he pours his Spirit out on them. He clothes them with his Spirit. But in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, the Spirit then lifts. And one example of this is a man called Gideon that we've looked a little bit this year. And it says in the Bible that the Spirit of the Lord clothes him and actually takes possession of him. But then when the job's done, the Spirit lifts. But now, because of what we're remembering today, because of the blood of Jesus, there's a new agreement in place. And that new agreement is called the New Covenant. And part of that agreement is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, comes in to Christians and remains there. So it doesn't just come on us for a task and then leave. He comes in and remains there. And that's good news. So that's what the New Covenant is. It's a new agreement from God. He initiates it through Jesus, by which God himself comes to dwell inside us by his Spirit. And when Jesus was talking to his disciples about communion, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And that's part of what he's talking about. So in taking communion, we're remembering that Jesus died on the cross for us, and through his blood, he sealed this new covenant. And because of the power of the Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, now Christians have a right standing before God. That's our new identity. It's called righteousness. And now by the Spirit we have what's called righteous union. We're at one with God. We're at one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somehow, by the power of the Spirit, God makes us in union with him. And God in the Old Testament said that this was going to happen. So many years before Jesus' body was broken, his blood shed, there's this bloke called Jeremiah, this prophet, and God used to speak through these prophets. And he said, God speaking through Jeremiah, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." So these old days have gone, and he said, there's something new coming. And part of this newness is coming through Jesus. And he says, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall people teach his neighbour or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they'll all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So by the power of the Spirit, through the blood of Jesus, the new covenant brings four things, at least four things. Number one, we have a new heart. God writes his law on our hearts. So by the Spirit, that's the power of the Spirit, not us. God does it. He gives us a new heart and he causes our hearts to want to please God. So now our hearts are not trying to please God or rejecting God or rebelling against God. By the power of the Spirit, we actually want to please God. And that's good for us. And then by the Spirit, he actually empowers us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. which is love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness. And he transforms us with this new heart to bear this fruit, to be more loving. And let's face it, we need the power of the Spirit to love each other. Don't we? Have you ever noticed that? It's quite hard to love people. Because we're all people. We're human. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? It's hard to be joyful. So that's where God comes in and says, I'm going to give you a new heart and I will empower you to love people. And through that empower, I'm going to show you how much I love you and you'll be empowered to love others. So that's the first one, a new heart. Second one, belonging. Belonging. That's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to belong. God says in the new covenant, I will be their God and they shall be my people. So it's always been God's heart. When you read the story of God in the Bible, it's always been his heart to have a people who belong to him. And that's the great thing about the new covenant. The third one is knowing. God says in the new covenant, they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest. So through the blood of Jesus that we're remembering in communion, all are welcome to come to Christ. From the least of them to the greatest. Everyone's welcome to come to know Jesus. And in the new covenant, we have direct access to God. We don't need to go through priests. The Bible says we're all priests in that way. Christians are we have direct access to God. And that's no small thing. We now have direct access to worship him in spirit and in truth, which means now we can be real with God. We can be honest with God. We don't have to pretend before God. We can lay all our fears down, disappointments, worries, anxieties, and we can worship him and get to know him in genuine relationship. And God's heart is that we would all know God and that we would all know that we know God. Because he says no longer are they going to have to teach it. So God's heart is to build a community where everybody just knows they know God. That's awesome. And the final one is forgiveness. Number four. God says in the new covenant, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. So now, because of the broken body and the bloodshed of Jesus, we can be forgiven. And forgiveness means to release. You release. And believing in Jesus releases us from sin. God says, I will forgive you because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so that means we have a new identity as his children. We come into the family of God. Now, relationship with God stays, but sometimes we have to say sorry for stuff. It's like sometimes my children, they remain my children, but sometimes they have to say sorry for stuff. And sometimes I have to say sorry to them. I'm not going to tell you which one happens more. But the fact is, we say sorry to each other to restore that sense of relationship. We always remain Father and children. That's how it is in Jesus. We're forgiven and released from our sin. And God's kingdom is advanced when we embrace these realities. When we embrace and enjoy that we have a new heart, that we have belonging, we know God and we're forgiven, because it changes who we are. It gives us a new identity. And now, because God is within, and this is awesome, we know that he will clothe us when we step out and do new things. We know now that because he's within, when we step out, he'll be with us. So wherever we go, whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's going to a doctor's appointment, taking on a new venture, we know he is with us, and God by his Spirit will clothe us for courage. So because he's within us, he'll be with us when we step out. And he gives us courage when we worship him. Because we come to him and we think, I've done this, I've done that, I'm not worthy. And the Spirit gives us courage to say, you know what, I'm laying that down. I'm remembering the broken body of Jesus. I'm remembering the blood shed of Jesus. And now when I step out from a place of worship, I know God is with me. And we might not always feel that God is with us. Sometimes you do feel the presence of God, but it's not dependent on feelings because we know He's within. That's signed, sealed, and delivered. And we could say that God's Spirit is in us for humility, to develop humility in us, and on us for courage. And God is looking for people who are willing to be made humble and courageous. That's what it means to be in the kingdom. You're humble, but you're courageous. And that's what God wants to do. And when we take communion, we're Jesus on the cross, the greatest example of humility and courage ever seen by humanity. Ever seen. So Jesus humbled himself as God's flesh in obedience to God and died for us. He gave his life that we would go free and show great courage to trust that the Father was going to raise him from the dead. And he did. So can I just have a couple of volunteers to hand out the communion? That would be awesome. Thanks, girls. So let's just think about that as we take communion. This is for all who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And let's just remember the humility of Jesus. That he was God in the flesh. That he chose to come and die on the cross for us. And he laid aside the fact he was God. And he humbled himself in obedience to his Father and gave his life that we would go free. And let's think about the courage of Jesus. In his humanity, he was empowered by the Spirit to be courageous, to trust the Father was going to raise him from the dead. And we too can taste and live in that humility and courage. So Father, I pray that as we remember Jesus, you would help us to follow his example and be people of humility and courage. Lord, we're sorry for the things we've done, the things we've not done that have sinned against you. And we thank you that you have provided forgiveness for us through the cross of Jesus. And Lord, we pray, help us to take courage that we are in you. And in you, it is finished. Thank you, Lord. I just invite you now to take the bread and the cup to remember Jesus.